Hello friends, welcome to this session on international marketing. I am Professor Ashish Hathi and going to take your this entire or various sessions on the subject. We are starting with chapter 1, which is international marketing, understanding the scope and challenges. To begin with, let's first understand very generically what is international marketing from the definition point of view. It just says that when you apply various marketing principles across more than one country. So what it means, there is a home country and there is a country other than the home country. Home country is the place where the business originates, where the productions are happening, etc., etc. While foreign country is the another market or the international market that you are trying to capture. So that's the very paramount aspect of this international marketing. It cannot be like where there is no home country and you are like, you know, spread all over. The concept is, as you also have a head office, so likewise head office and then all country offices. So that's what is the fundamental differentiator, making one or more marketing mix decisions. So here, product, price, place, promotion plays a very crucial role in marketing. When you shift to the other market, one of this or all of this may change. It refers to the process of planning, executing and managing marketing activities. So like what you do for home country, say for example India, cannot be the same in other markets, say if you are in Malaysia also. So there also you have to plan everything about marketing management. So what it means that overall marketing function is to adapt to various changes required in the another country in terms of consumer behavior may be different. There may be regulatory principles, regulatory laws that you have to adhere to or adopt to. And then there may be currency fluctuation that happens literally every hour and how the competitive landscape is there in the other country. So example that I've given you is a Coca-Cola today operates over 200 countries, but its marketing strategy vary significantly from country to country. So that's what is the essence of understanding international marketing. Now we get into understanding the importance of international marketing. Now this importance from the point of view of global economy, where international marketing is a must have growth strategy. No business today ideally and essentially can think of growing business without considering international marketing for their business. So why does it so? So essentially international marketing, when you consider it, helps you with the revenue growth. Revenue growth comes from the expansion of market. You are in now more market present, and because of that you are able to tap new and varied nature of customer base. You are not dependent on vagaries of one country. So you are not getting affected severally by some adverse change happening in the country or the only country in which you are present. Example, just to share with you, is Apple. Nearly 60% of its revenue comes from the international market. So because of that, whether country like say, which undergoes a turmoil, Apple is secured. Maybe India is growing. So India may be growing at a 6.5 and more GDP growth rate, while other country, Europe's and all, are just 2% GDP growth rate. So what is tilted against got set off by favorable conditions in other markets. So your reliance on only single economy goes away. Next one is a diversification and risk mitigation. So when you get into multiple countries, it allows you to also diversify in multiple nature of business. Now here, risk mitigation also comes in. The example of Samsung is given. Samsung, because is a company or the brand spread across the globe. Now, when they faced financial crisis in 2008 in their own home country, that is Seoul, Korea, South Korea rather, they were still able to overcome this because they were present across multiple terrain and market there supported them. So these are the few aspects that we needed to understand. Continuing further understanding about the importance, the next point is the competitive advantage. Now when you get into international marketing, it first of all recognizes your brand. your brand gets a different recognition, your capabilities are, kind of understood, and then therefore company is able to leverage a lot of other advantages, the process advantage, the economies of scale, etc. So you are able to also leverage many other advantages. Nike benefits from lower manufacturing costs in Vietnam. So now with this expansion, Nike has reoriented its production. So country which is giving them a lot of economic benefit, the production happens there, but they are selling the goods across the world. The last one is the technology and innovation transfer. So like when you are present across different countries, whatever change or innovation or the technology upgradation that take place in that country, maybe you can replicate, or maybe you can look at how they are taking the advantage of it. You try to bring that technology or try to bring that innovation in another countries also. So overall, we have understood what is international marketing and its importance. So now we need to get into understanding changing patterns in international marketing. So what we are going to understand is a pattern-based changes that has taken place. But here also, let's have the importance first understood. Now, first I have mentioned the shift in global consumer preference. Now, another aspect of international marketing, because today the exposure is so much to the virtual media, visual media, consumers' own preferences are changing. So, and also demographically things are changing. The middle class is rising. The per capita income of middle class is growing. So they have a higher disposable income. So they want to spend on convenience, luxury, etc. and entertainment and education, etc. Digital and mobile shopping, people have now adopted it very well. Now it has become a part of you. Today now you see, therefore the 10-minute commerce is also flourishing. Preference for sustainable and ethical brands. People have now created their mind orientation where they support brands which is supporting the cause for environmental sustenance. So that's what is also changed, that is requiring you to be really be tuned to international marketing. So that's what one aspect that we need to understand. Rising middle class, as I have been mentioning it, there's a few points under that. Economies like China, India, Brazil are rapidly growing, where, as I told you, the middle class per capita income is growing. It is expected by 2030, the middle class number will reach 5.3 billion people. And this is going to create a massive demand for various nature of goods. Now, companies offering, therefore, are also evolving to offer a kind of affordable products. They are kind of to replicating their high cost, high end product to somewhat, offering them similar kind of product to a middle class also. So they may change certain aspects of it, but overall the middle class will get attracted for that product, fancy of that. So many companies like Unilever, Nestle, they all are adhering to that so that they can serve the middle class very well. So at the end of this, one example on the Starbucks will probably help you understand. Starbucks is very successful internationally, and one has to look at it how. So success of Starbucks is essentially due to adapting to various local requirements, local culture, local consumer preferences, how they did it. So like China, when they were entering, they realized China is a tea dominating country. In fact, people say that it originated there. And therefore, Starbucks has introduced green tea flavored beverages in their menu. Now, this was very well, accepted by the Chinese consumers. While when they were entering France, France is known for a very cultural diversity, So the company has, even in the designing of the store, etc., they have ensured that the culture is respected. So like a look and feel of like a Persian cafe was created. Now this kind of balancing between something which is standardization, so which is on the product, the service, etc., they could create certain local aspects related, matter very well. So like decor, physical ambience, etc. And as a result, they are successful today across 80 countries. So this is the significance of international marketing. So now let's look at difference between international trade and international marketing. You will often hear this, you know, and therefore you have to be very clear what has been discussed about. So trade and marketing, these two aspects, international trade, international marketing, definition-wise, it's an exchange of goods and services across border related to the entire geography, country. When India talks about it with the Middle East, it's talking about the international trade. While if any company looks at it, then it's about the process of promoting, pricing and selling products in the other country. So that makes it international marketing. What is the focus of the trade? Trade means it is generally a macro level perspective, and therefore things like import export regulations, agreements between two countries, tariffs, logistics, this is to be handled by government bodies, while there are designated one. While in the international marketing, the focus is very organization oriented. Therefore, you clearly focus on the kind of target customer that you want to affect, you know, the behavior you want to mold, the branding that you want to achieve, etc. And then what kind of a competitive positioning you want to take. The key players in the international trades, as I mentioned earlier, are the government itself, then trade bodies, the blocks which is covered, you know, created by international bodies like World Trade Organization, European Union, etc. And maybe the industry associations, etc. They may be the key player when it comes to the international trade, but when it comes to international marketing, it is company centric. And therefore, it talks about related advertising agencies, market research agencies, etc. Last is I'm trying to give you an example. India exports pharmaceuticals into the US using trade agreement that has been agreed between India and United States, while Pepsi adopting its marketing strategy to please Chinese consumer, that is known as an international marketing. So with this, I'm sure like you are very clear about what is trade and what is international marketing. Now let's understand the evolution of international marketing. So it's like just giving you a run through. Okay, marketing per se, as they say, started way before 1900s, where essentially the trade started on the basis of colonial commerce, where one king needed certain things from the other area, or one country needed something from the other country, you know, and the sea routes were the only possible way of doing business, etc. So that's how some exchange started across border. Then came this industrial revolution, the mass production, etc. was possible. Machine got invented. Steam engine was the first one to get introduced in the textile mill. And accordingly, then various changes that has happened led to, like the Ford was the first car company to export goods. So that's where the revolution is account of mechanization. The third is a post-World War II globalization era, 50s to 90s, where now world realizes the essence of coming together and serving each other's need, because God has not distributed everything everywhere. God has provided certain things more in some areas, certain things more in some other area. However, the consumption of it is required by everyone. So as a result, world started realizing, and then they started realizing that we have these issues or this problem or this kind of obstructions, etc. They formed various bodies, and these bodies started looking out, removing that. So first one was this World Trade Organization. Their sole focus was to reduce trade barriers. Okay, then there were various agreements that has come in, like European Union, etc. So their countries have agreed to simplify the exchange of goods. So that's how the revolution really got momentum. And then came this digitalization and e-commerce. Now, as they say, that you can transact across the world. So this is how the world has changed. So international marketing has also kept pace with that. So with that, let's enter into the second section, so to say, which is changing patterns in international marketing and influencers. So what is changing? That is what I will try and give you the idea. So first is the impact of technological advancement on international marketing. Technologies like artificial intelligence, big data came before, blockchain, etc., are making various things possible which earlier nobody could even dream about. Okay, so now today Amazon supports you with AI powered recommendations. When you start searching something, you are getting flooded with certain inputs by Amazon itself. The backend technology is artificial intelligence, augmented reality, AR and virtual reality. With this, they are able to give you a product experience. They are able to give you some, you know, experiential buying, this thing. So as a result, say for example, L'Oreal uses virtual try and future. So like, you know, you can really try and see that if you use this product of L'Oreal, how will and what will, you know, be it look like? How will I look? So as a result, this became possible due to that virtual reality and augmented reality. Blockchain for transparency. Now, blockchain has really changed the world where you really own something. So now blockchain technology allows you to own certain things. As a result, the transparency is ensured. Now, this therefore helps the producer to protect his right and prevent any counterfeiting, etc. Walmart, on the other end, tracks the food supply chain for safety and authenticity end to end. So this is how the technology is changing. So that is one pattern of change. Second is the changing cultural and social influences. Now, due to language and communication style, which vary within country also, there will be many variations. So even if I take Hindi as a language of, say, our country, Hindi also has a different dialects when you move from, say, Uttar Pradesh to Madhya Pradesh to another part of India. So that's what marketer has to take into account. Okay, example, Pepsi ad in China backfired because Pepsi has used certain wording which in Chinese language or Chinese way of thinking linked to the dead bodies. So as a result, Pepsi had to rechange their entire communication. Next is the consumer lifestyle and preferences. So like, consumers are today able to watch what is happening in the other part of the world. They are able to watch international movies sitting at their home. Now, as a result, style, fashion, the way to live, etc., become very aspirational and you want to absorb some of it. So, as a result, your own average consumer lifestyle preferences are changing. So, example, KFC in China introduced localized menu. So, there, you know, to success, like, which is why China, say, even in India, the India, they started with their original menu. Soon they realized, and they were, luckily, they were fast to respond. And that's where their mek alu tikki, paneer tikki, etc. came up. Otherwise, it was not earlier there. There are religious and ethical considerations also. Okay. Now, Disney in Paris is not so successful because people there are more Finnish, they require certain specific way of being handled, etc. While if you are in a kind of theme parks, etc., you kind of, you know, want to get free. That's what the theme park expects you. So they kind of offer you, provide you things in that manner, which was not so well accepted in France. But in Shanghai, they are very successful. People are so stressed, they want to relieve themselves. So this is how the entire religious and ethical considerations come in. So with that, we enter into the next section, which is the role of marketing mix in international marketing. So marketing mix, as you are aware, here we'll be discussing essentially four: product, price, place, promotion. Four are essentially linked with product marketing. Okay, there's service marketing, there are additional three, but I am restricting to the four. Starting with the product itself, okay, you have various nature of strategies possible. Now, because product is the one which is getting consumed, it has to match the local taste, cultural values, expectation of the customer, as well as any laid down regulation. So what are the strategies in digital marketing? Standardization is one approach to the product strategy. You offer the same product worldwide with minimal modification. So iPhone, for example, from Apple, they maintain uniform design and features across globe. So iPhone, which is made available here, iPhone say 14, if it is purchased from Malaysia, if it is purchased from Europe, it will have same standard features and this thing. There will not be any change, so to say. So that's a standardization approach. So they are able to mass produce either in China or now they've started in India. Second is the adaptation strategy. You modify your product to suit local market conditions. So that is what, as I told you earlier, example of a McDonald's offering make aloo tikki in India. So that's the adaptation. So likewise, whichever country you go, you may have to adopt your product to suit local consumer need. Third is the innovation, which is creating a completely new product for that foreign market. Later on, you may explore feasibility to enter with that product in the other market. So here, the Nokia has developed low-cost feature phone for Africa when they were really booming. Okay, now because those places where electricity was seldom available and therefore the battery has to have much longer life. So that's what you call innovation. So as I told you, there are three standard product strategies: standardization, adaptation, and innovation. Now, when you enter into the other aspects, you also have to consider, does my branding require any change? Does my packaging require any change? Or my label requirement has to meet with the local legal requirements. In the European Union countries, food label must comply with multilingual and strict nutritional disclosure norms. Also different, they don't insist on veg and non-veg, which is the case in India. You have to have a red dot if it's a non-vegetarian item. You have to have a green dot if it's a vegetarian item. In European Union, that is not important, but the nutritional fact has to be there. In China, Coca-Cola red and gold packaging during the Chinese New Year boost seasonal sales. So like they offer a packaging oriented, you know, marketing where gold is probably, the color gold is very, very preferred, this thing in Chinese, culture maybe. And as a result, various things are packed with gold as a visualization and therefore it lifts their sale. So these are some of the tweaks that you require. The second P, which is pricing, that what we have to understand is that in the international marketing, it's a very complex thing. Pricing has to take into account factors like fluctuations in the currency. Dollar is today cheaper, but tomorrow dollar may be costly. Dollar may be within 2 hours to may get cheaper or costly. So your business transaction spans across few days and a month, you know, while the payment is due. So it all depends on the fluctuation in the currency. Purchasing power. You may be in a country where consumers do not have a sound purchasing power overall, while you may be in a country where it's rich, you know, will have a very sound purchasing power. So that's what. Tariff. What is the structure of the tariff? So that's what determines. And then competition, intensity of it. So what are the different pricing strategies? First strategy is a market-based pricing. Here, pricings will be determined after studying local competition and affordability aspect of consumers. So Netflix adjusts subscription prices in different countries. So for the same service, if in India they can extract 999 rupees, they will charge that. But the same service in, say, like a underdeveloped country may be available at 499. And because of digital barriers and all, you can't subscribe to that. You know, they will know that you are from India, so you have to pay 999. So this is an example of a market-based pricing. Cost-plus pricing, simply add all your total cost and then add to it the production margin that you want. If my total production cost is 100 rupees and I want to earn 25 rupees on every product, then my cost plus pricing will be 125. Penetration pricing. You enter purposely with a low price to attract customers. You may, instead of making 25 rupees, you may initially earn only 5 rupees because you are entering in a market which is new to you. You want more consumer to first try. Once you are sure that they try, they will not be able to resist, repurchase, etc. So you enter with a penetration pricing. Here Xiaomi example is given. This entered India with a very low margin price. You know, for them, essentially they wanted to capture the large base of consumers, what they were targeting. Okay, price skimming, which is setting a high initial price. You enter with a very high price. So generally, Apple iPhone does that. Here the example of Sony PlayStation is given. Every new variant of a Sony PlayStation, because it is technologically advanced, having for more new features, they enter with the higher price and they gradually start reducing. So even iPhone enters, the new iPhone enters with a much higher price, and only when they launch the new variant, the previous variant price starts going down. So this is overall a price skimming as a strategy. So friends, the third P of the product or the marketing strategy is place. Place is equivalent to distribution. How will you manage reaching out to your consumer? Your goods should reach your consumer. So that's what you do, this where consumer should get your product at the right time, at the right place. That's the sole objective. So distribution depends on, in the international marketing, on the market infrastructure. Unilever uses rural distribution models in India. Now, how it became possible? It's only after the golden quadrilateral road infrastructure was developed. East-West corridor, South-North corridor, that's a kind of a road infrastructure when it provided. Then you see that Pradhan Mantri Sadak, Gramin Sadak Yojana. Now, under all these things, more and more roads are getting concretized, or it's a permanent in nature that makes the vehicle reach, carry your supply to the rural distributor. So infrastructure is very important. Buying behavior of the consumer. So in the US and Europe, they prefer going to supermarkets. In India, it is, we were into supermarkets, but we were hijacked by online revolution. So we prefer that. So you see that behavior of the consumer is very important. In Africa and India, brick and mortar stores are still very popular. That is kiranas, as we call. Okay, online versus offline channel dominance. So like Amazon, Alibaba dominates global e-commerce market. Many countries, okay, Louis Vuitton channel prefer exclusive brand store. Now, they prefer that because the nature of customer they service requires personal attention, personalization. As a result, they prefer brick and mortar, and that also not like given to somebody to run. They prefer their exclusive branded store. So now I enter with the fourth P of product marketing, called promotional strategies across international market. Now, when you are talking about communication, naturally the cultural aspect and legal and technological landscape will determine what you communicate and how you communicate. First of all, it starts with the challenge about advertising adaptations. So Pepsi modified its Come Alive slogan in China. That Come Alive, we understand, is like, you know, relieve or say, you know, get energized. In China, it was more attributed to as if you are telling a dead body to become again live, you know. So that's why it backfired. They have to change that. Celebrity endorsement and influencer. The celebrity which is in India cannot influence the people across Malaysia or European country unless they have that international presence. So in India, Deepika Padukone for Levi's, Shah Rukh Khan for Hyundai, but they will have similarly another influencer or a celebrity across, say, Malaysia or across European Union or United States or Middle East for that matter. So that's also very important. Third is the digital and social media campaigns. Coca-Cola Share a Coke campaign. It's a beautiful example. For those who may not know, kindly do Google, but I will very briefly explain you. In every country, when Coca-Cola launches this Share a Coke campaign, the bottle of the Coca-Cola is available with the names. Now, therefore, the name in India are different than the name probably in Middle East, than the names in European countries, South Africa. But they do that so that I can pick up, you know, if my friend is Ajay, I pick up a bottle with the name Ajay and I go and share a Coke with him. Okay, so that's how, it's a very powerful thought builder, and it really took them across. It broke that cultural barrier and people loved it. So cultural sensitivity in promotion, you have to be very sensitive to the culture in the country that you are present. Dove faced a backlash in 2017 for an ad perceived as racially insensitive. Now, many international companies try and bring models from various ethnic background or various other things, etc. They try to be a taboo busters, etc. But when Dove did something like that, they faced a backlash. Okay, they were considered as radical, racially partial, you know, kind of thing. And they are not sensitive about various races across the country or something like that. And therefore, they have to withdraw the advertisement. So that's also one very important aspect. So let's take an example how Starbucks perfected the international marketing mix. So that is 4 P's. Product, as we have earlier also given you the example, Starbucks generally localizes the beverages also. So like they offer mocha green tea latte in Japan, churro frappuccino in Mexico, and Turkish coffee in Turkey. So that's how they kind of do things needed for the product. Earlier example I have given you, they have introduced Starbucks is to you and me, it's more like a coffee shop, but they have introduced green tea in China. Like price wise, Starbucks knows that they have to adopt overall a premium pricing, and therefore they study the market and then they decide what is affordable premium pricing. But they have also considered certain countries where they have really reduced their rates so that to make it affordable. Place is a distribution act, you know, how you reach out to your consumer in time. They do this either via company-owned stores, so this is like a full-fledged store of the company, or they have a franchisee. Say, for example, in India, they have a partnership with Tata. So Starbucks in Tata runs under the Starbucks in India runs through Tata group of companies. So that's what the play strategy. Promotion, they extensively use social media, they use local influencers, and they do localized advertisement to engage with the customer. Something which may appeal to somebody in Malaysia or France may not appeal to Indians out here. So you have to be very localized. Engagement is to be considering the local consumer in mind. So by this way, customizing your 4P strategy, Starbucks has maintained strong international presence while they still respect the local market dynamics.